Good morning, everybody. How's everyone doing? All right. Good, good. So in case you don't know, my name's Chris. I'm so glad you guys spent your week with us. I'm going to be bringing the word today, but first I'm going to start off giving another round of applause for the praise band this morning. In case you came in late, that's our youth praise band. They play every Wednesday night for the youth. Man, we've got a talented group of kids. So kudos to them. Now, every holiday, I would go home to my mother-in-law's house. I haven't lived at home in the same state for about 6 years. But every holiday, I'd go home, and we'd have my mother-in-law had an extra room. We'd spend the night in there, and she didn't have cable. I don't have cable either, but, you know, she didn't have cable. So she had this little box full of movies that I'd look through every time I'd go there. And I'd look through them. How many of you have a little box of movies at home? You look through them. You look through them again, you look through them again, thinking there's going to be a new one in there that maybe you hadn't seen before. But every week, every time we'd go home, I'd go there, I'd look through those movies, and she hadn't gotten any new ones. And then I'd just pick the same one every time. And that movie was The Dilemma with Kevin James and Vince Vaughn. Anybody ever seen that movie? Oh, y'all are Christians. Y'all don't watch movies? Oh, thank you. One in there. Okay. Well, let me tell you a little bit. Let me tell you a little bit about this movie very quickly. Kevin James and Vince Vaughn were best friends. And they went to college together. They went all through college. And then they decided after college, we're going to be business partners. So as you can imagine, business partners as best friends gets a little tricky sometimes. Anybody ever made that? Yeah, you done that. Okay, now, they've maxed out every credit card. They've taken out loans. And now they're trying to get this company to hire them to build a hybrid motor that doesn't sound like a little puny car, for lack of a better word. It doesn't look like a Prius, but it fits in a Challenger, a Mustang, all these cars, and it sounds like an American muscle car. So more people will buy hybrid cars. Well, they get the loan from this company, and I'm pretty sure in the movie it was $500,000. And they get this loan. And they're working hard. I mean, they're under a crunch time to deliver. And then right in the middle of this whole thing, Vince Vaughn goes out to lunch. And he sees Kevin James' wife with another dude. And Vince is like, oh, no. Oh, no. He's in a dilemma, right? He's got a decision to make. Is he going to risk this business deal? Because if he tells Kevin about this, who's already under a lot of stress, is he going to risk everything, even their relationship, to tell Kevin about his wife cheating on him? So Vince does what every good friend would do. I got to get some proof. I don't know if my friend's going to believe me. I got to get some proof. So he takes his camera and he goes over and he's going to take pictures of them together. And in the midst of that, they come face to face. And all of a sudden, Vince is left with another decision. Is he going to confront this guy? Who knows what's going to happen? Or is he just going to make up some other story? And then, no, he doesn't. He confronts the guy and he says, listen, that girl you're sleeping with, her husband is my best friend. So they get into a little altercation, you know, a little fight. And in the midst of that, somehow, Vince Vaughn gets a hold of a lighter, and kids, don't worry about this, close your ears, and he gets a hold of a can of spray deodorant, and he's chasing this guy around with this lighter, trying to light him on fire. He's trying to light this dude on fire. That's a good friend, isn't it? Not only am I going to confront this dude, I'm going to try to light this guy on fire. Now, after that happened, no one died, don't worry. After that happened, Vince decided, I've got a decision to make. Am I going to tell Kevin about his wife, or I'm just going to let it go because it's going to be weird and it's going to mess things up and it's going to change our relationship with each other? He's in a dilemma. So just so you know, Vince decides to tell him. Kevin, you know, left his wife, all this kind of stuff, and all the details were worked out. But what I want you to focus on is that Vince had a decision to make about his best friend. And it was a difficult one. Was he going to tell him, be his good friend? A good friend, I'm pretty sure, would tell him. He wouldn't just keep it a secret and just say, well, whatever happens is what happens. He'll find out sooner or later. That's what our message is about today. All of us have a dilemma. We have friends who don't know Christ. And are we going to make the decision to tell them about Christ? Or are we just going to hope that somewhere along in life that they're going to run into somebody else that's going to tell them about Christ? Now, I want everyone to repeat after me. Say, my invitation can change the world. Now, invitation. Now, I'm saying an invitation to church this morning. My invitation can change the world. I want everyone to open up your Bibles to John chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 40. Now, I mean this morning, my invitation can change the world. I am specifically referring to you inviting someone to come to church. That's what we're going to call invitation. We get invitations all the time. Maybe you invite someone to go to a Razorback football game. I'm just kidding. Y'all don't do that here, do you? Maybe you invite someone to go to an Alabama football game. Okay. How about an Auburn game? Oh, man. Some boo. Okay. You got one. Yeah. If there's one, Lord. Okay. Now, so invitations. We get them to baby showers, weddings, football games, all this stuff. But can I tell you something this morning? And this is what our whole message is about. Those invitations have no spiritual meaning. Those invitations cannot change a person's life. As much as we enjoy football and we're passionate about it, and there's some wives in here who could care less about football. Is there any of those in here? Okay, none. We're in the South. Oh, yes! Okay. Now, our invitation to church can change someone's world. John chapter 1. Let me give you a little bit of background about what's going on here. There's this guy named John the Baptist. Some of you heard of John the Baptist. Okay, good. You're doing all right, Pastor Mike. They've heard of him before. All right, John the Baptist. So John the Baptist was this guy who was sent to prepare the way for Christ. And he was a crazy dude. I mean, he was eating bugs and had all sorts of stuff in his hair. They could have maybe got someone a little more polished, but they didn't. They chose to use him. And here he is. He's telling people about Christ. He's leading the way. And then all of a sudden, he's baptizing people, and this guy walks up. And when he walks in to the river, the heavens open up. And all of a sudden, there's this loud voice, God's voice, and he says, John, behold, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Just so there was no doubt about who the Messiah was, the heavens open up, all these people were witnessing it, and then John said, that's the one. That's the one I've been talking about. This is the guy that my whole life I've dedicated to prepare the way for. That's him. Now, that's what's happened right before this scripture verse. So let's read John chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah. That is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which translated is Peter. Verse 43, the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, finding Philip. He said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, Philip said. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, he is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were sitting under the fig tree before Philip called you. Verse 49. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under a fig tree? You will see greater things than that. He then added, verily, truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, open our hearts, our ears, and our minds to what you would have us receive today from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, my message today is about you inviting someone to church. We're actually going to look at the Ignite principle really quickly, and it says this. God wants me to invite my friends to come to church with me. We're going to be talking about that a little bit later, but I wanted to go ahead and give you that. Today I'm going to be sharing some stories from my personal life about people I have invited to come to church. Sure, we could find places in the Bible where people's lives were changed because they were a part of a body of believers. But I want you guys to know and understand that God is still acting in our lives. He is still doing things in our lives, and miracles are still happening today. So the first one I'm going to tell you is about a lady named Sarah. Now, Sarah, let me tell you guys a little bit about her. She was a waitress at my favorite restaurant I used to go to. It was a Mexican restaurant. I used to get the same thing every time, three cheese enchiladas with cheese sauce on top every time. And one day I said to her, she was always my waitress, I said, Sarah, do you go to church? And she kind of looked at me and she said, no. I said, well, you know what? I'd like you to come to church. And I handed her an invite card. Here's the service times, blah, blah, blah. Never said anything else. Do you go to church? Sure, come to church. A couple weeks went by, and I'm speaking, and I see her come in. It's kind of dark in there. I wasn't 100% sure it was her, but when she kind of came closer to the front, she sat in around this area, and she was crying the whole time I was preaching. I'm like, dang, am I really that bad? She's crying the whole time. But you know what? She cried the whole service. We dismissed the service. Everyone exited. And there she was, all by herself, still crying. So I went up to her. I sat down next to her. And I just put my hand on her shoulder. And I said, Sarah, I'm glad to see you here today. I'm glad you came. She cried for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I just sat there. She never said a word. And so I said, Sarah, you're going to have to tell me what's going on. Can't read your mind. And the first thing out of her mouth was this. Why did God take all of them? I didn't know what that meant. I was young, 23, and I said, I took a deep breath, and she said it again. Why did God take all of them? Come to find out, Sarah had had 5 miscarriages. She was broken. She was hurting. She didn't know what the answer was. And I said, Sarah, I really don't know what to say here, but I can tell you, if you come here every Sunday, you won't have to walk through it alone. That's all I knew to tell her. You won't have to walk through it alone. Sarah began to come every Sunday. Because of that, she did not have to walk through it alone. We're going to talk about 5 principles. Everybody say 5. We're going to talk about 5 principles that how our invitation can change the world. This is your cue to get out your notes. We're going to talk about the first one. It says, believe that Jesus can change lives. How many of you believe that Jesus can change lives? Hold your hand up. Keep it up. Well, that's good. We don't have to talk about that point because everybody knows that. Let's move on to number 2. No, I'm kidding. We're going to talk about it. And that brings me to my next story. This lady, there was a lady named Stella. I met Stella serving at a food pantry one time volunteering. And I asked her, I said, Stella, do you go to church? She said, no. So I handed her an invite card. I said, if you're ever looking for a church, come to church. Months went by. I'm pretty sure it was about 7 months went by. And I'm sitting there. It's in the afternoon. It's on a weekday. I'm sitting there. She walks in the front door. And I kind of remembered her. I said, "Are you the lady I saw at the food pantry that I invited?" She goes, "Yeah." So we sat down at the table. And guess what she started to do? Cry. And I just went, "Oh, my gosh, another one." She started to cry. And she cried. And she cried. And she cried. I was sitting at a table just like this out in the lobby. She cried. And I said, "Stella, what's going on?" She said, she just whispered it. She said, "A year ago today, my son killed himself. And I don't know what to do. It's been a year, and I don't know what to do." I took a deep breath, and I said, "First off, I have no idea how you feel. But God does. He lost his son." And I said, "I can tell you this. I don't know what your future holds, but I can tell you, if you'll come every Sunday and get involved in this church, I promise you, your life will turn around." Week after week, month after month, Stella came. She slipped in the back. She sat in the back row. Sunday service was over. She left. Never spoke to anyone. Would you believe that today, in the state of Oklahoma, Stella is the number one voice for suicide prevention awareness? And she travels all over the state every weekend speaking to hundreds of people about how we can do our part for suicide prevention. Now, I honestly believe that because someone stepped out, just simple words, "Hey, do you go to church? Hey, Sarah, do you go to church? We'd love to have you down there." That's it. That's it. "Do you go to church?" Now, wait a minute. I don't have all the answers. What if they start asking me theological questions? What if they start asking me, "Well, does God really exist? And how come kids go hungry?" And listen, I don't know all that. I don't know. But just come to church with me. I'm sure we'll talk about it sometime and you'll understand. You don't have to have all the answers. But you do have to believe that Jesus can change lives. Point number two, principle number two, recognize that Jesus wants to use you to do it. Let's look at one of my favorite scripture verses. It's found in Matthew 28. We're going to read this real quick. "Therefore, some of you go and make disciples of all nations." And then there's a small portion I've hand-selected that I want to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. "Now everyone but you, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given to you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's not how it reads, is it? God has called every Christian to proclaim the gospel to everyone who doesn't believe. Which brings me to my next person. How many of you have Facebook in here? Okay, all right. Good. Have you ever seen those people on Sunday mornings? You know, these are the kind of people who probably wake up, they roll over, they grab their phone. The screen's probably too bright because it's in the morning. They probably open with one eye, and they're checking all their Facebook posts. They probably even haven't even said good morning to their husband or wife yet. They got to get their Facebook fixed real quick. But there's these people that every Sunday morning, they post and they say, "Hey, if you don't have a church home this morning, we'd love to see you." How many of you have seen those people? Every Sunday morning, yeah. How many of you are those people? Yeah, some of you people. Every Sunday morning, "You know what? If you need Jesus, come to church with me this morning." There's lots of ways to say it. Guess what? I am that person. And I used to do it a little bit tricky. I would post it, and then I'd tag everyone I could think of from the church I go to. So it would show up on their wall, too. So then their friends would see it. Now, I am that person, yes. It tags everybody. But one Sunday, I was preaching. A guy slipped in, late for service. He slips in, and he sits in this section kind of over here. Real nice looking guy. Tall, dark, handsome, great haircut, great clothes, clean cut, all those things. There's a lot of people in the room, you know, 300 or 400, 500 people. I don't know how many people were in the room. But I walk over to him, and I said, "I'm Chris, man. We're so glad to see you this morning." He said, "I'm Jeff." And all of a sudden, I felt like, you know what? Jeff's about my age. Let me invite him to lunch. I said, "Jeff, I'd like to take you out to lunch tomorrow. Are you free?" He was like, "Sure." So I took him out to lunch to my favorite place. And we sat down for lunch. This is the next day. It's on a Monday. We sit down. It's crowded, packed. Guess what he starts to do? Cry. And I just went, "What is happening? What is happening?" He starts to cry. And he said, "Next week, I'm going to jail for 1 year." You see, because I just got busted with crack cocaine and heroin in my car. And I was doing it, and I got busted with it, going to jail for a year. I said, "Jeff, well, this is a real mood killer, Jeff. I got to be honest with you. Thought this was going to be a fun lunch. We were going to be friends, and we were going to just shoot the breeze and talk about sports. And here you are. You just killed it. Can we do a retake? Can we start over and you not tell me that?" But you know what I said, Jeff? I said, "Here's the deal." Apparently, I say "here's the deal" a lot. I said, "Here's the deal. I don't know what your future holds. But I do know this. I do know that God doesn't care about what you've done in the past. And God loves you no matter what. So how about we do this? How about you make a promise to me that you're going to read some Christian books, whatever those are, while you're in jail. I'm going to save your number. I'm going to go to my calendar a year in advance and ask him what day he thought he would get out, the week. And he knew. I put it in my calendar. And I said, "I'm going to call you that week." I called him a year later. My phone beeped a year later. And I said, "Jeff, how are you?" He was far away, so I couldn't go and visit him in prison. I said, "Jeff, how are you?" He said, "I'm okay." I said, "I'd like to see you at church Sunday morning." The next Sunday, he comes to church, and he's got an entire row of people with him. I'm like, "Dang, who are all these people?" It just so happened that all these people were drug addicts. They were all still using. And he just piled as many people in his car and invited as many people as he could to come to church. And those people accepted Christ. And those people are living right. Jeff just celebrated 3 years clean. And I made it to his first year of being clean, his celebration. I made it to his second year of being clean, his celebration. And I moved away. I didn't get to go to his third one. But because of if you don't have a church home this morning, we'd love to see you. Just a simple invite, because your invitation can change the world. Now, it brings us to our third principle. Identify people in my sphere of influence to invite. Identify people in my sphere of influence to invite. This isn't in your notes, but if you want to write this down, in Psalm 37, verse 23, it says, "The steps of a godly man are ordered. He delights in every detail of their lives." It doesn't say "in some details." It doesn't say "only Monday, Wednesday, Friday." It says "every detail." So what that means is that God cares about what's going on in your life. And God is ordering your life. And God is leading your life. And so that might lead me to believe that every person in my sphere of influence, God has trusted me with. Not only trusted, that means that it's your job to introduce them to Christ. If they don't know, it's you. Now, some of you guys may think, "Well, if it's meant to be, if they're meant to be in heaven, God will send somebody else." I haven't read that yet. It's up to us. People in our sphere of influence. Now, I'm not asking you, or I'm not telling you that you just got to go around and tell everybody you know about Jesus. I was in Birmingham yesterday, and there was a guy right on the main highway, must have had about 50 signs on the side of the road with some kind of speaker saying, you know, it's real blurry, but he was talking about Jesus. I don't know what he was saying. That's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm just asking for the people in your sphere of influence. Those are the people that God's called you to reach. Now, let's go back to our scripture verse we read earlier this morning. John. It's in John chapter 1. It says this. Verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. Listen to this. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him. Whew. Now, why do you think the Bible put this in here specifically? This specific story. Out of all the people in the world who were telling everybody about Jesus, why did he choose to tell the authors to write this one? Because this one is the most difficult to do. Now, there's three things in life that the world has taught us you don't talk about, right? Money, politics. What's the third one? Religion. That's right. That's right. Now, as hard as it is, God has placed you in your family's life to be the person that brings the good news of the gospel. Now, wait a minute. We got to do life with these people. We got to see them all the time. We got to be at family get-togethers. We can't drive that wedge between us. Listen, the gospel is not a wedge. The gospel is hope. That's their hope. You know, Vince Vaughn, he set out to get proof that this is really what's happening. It's not fake. Well, guess what? We have proof that the gospel is real. It's written in his word. You don't need proof. You don't need all the answers. All you have to do is say, hey, would you mind coming to church with me? That's it. I want you to look to the person next to you and say, hey, do you go to church? And then they're going to say, duh, right? Duh, I'm already here. Oh, yeah, some of y'all got it. That's okay. All right, and that brings me to my fourth principle. Care enough to extend an invitation to church. I tell you what, Pastor Mike was preaching a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't been hit this hard in a while. I haven't heard it put like this before, but a couple of weeks ago, I think it was the first series, I'm not 100% sure, but he put a video up, and it was of an atheist. And he said, how much do you have to hate someone to not tell them about the love of Christ? I just went, wow. I'm going to be a little radical right now. Is it okay if I say some radical things? Is that okay? Okay, this is church, right? We're family. Now, wait a minute. You're asking me to do some things that are out of my comfort zone. I just can't walk up to somebody and ask them to come to church. Can I share a secret with you? Our comfort zone. I mean ours, because it's difficult. It's difficult for me sometimes. Our comfort zone is not as important as someone's eternity. Well, you know, I was going to tell them, but I didn't want it to be awkward, and the conversation never led that way, and it's never going to lead that way. You have to lead it. Well, I didn't want to, you know, I got to work with these people. I didn't want it to be weird between us. Listen, the gospel's not weird. The good news is not weird. The Bible is not weird. It's the good news. It's the hope. It's important that you guys understand how critical inviting someone to church can be. Because your invitation can change the world. Brings me to point number five. Experience God's blessing in my own life. experience God's blessings in my own life. Some of you guys may have heard this before, but man, life's going to get tough. You may lose your job. You may run into money problems. Things, you know, you might have health problems. It's bound to happen. This is a broken world. And you say, well, you know, how come God doesn't fix it or what's this? Let me share a little beacon of hope for you. If all God did was send his son to die for you so you could be saved and go to heaven, that's enough. That's enough. That's the greatest blessing in our life, is that we have hope and we have good news. And we can say, you know what? I have Christ in my life and I get to spend eternity in heaven. Every Christian who has Christ in their heart has experienced the blessings of God. Let me tell you about a blessing. 1 pound, 13 ounces. This is Sarah. This is her next baby, Howie. He's the same age as my son. And I believe that Sarah has Howie because she committed her life to Christ. God changed her life. He used me to invite her to church. And he wants to use you too. Next week is the church Super Bowl, right? Easter. On your notes today, you have five blanks. I'm sure some of you have figured this out, right? Five names go in there. Those are five people that I want you to write down, and I want you to pray for those people to come to you with Easter. Now, if you're waiting, if your prayer becomes this, well, God, just open the door for me to invite them. He already opened the door. He sent his son, Jesus Christ. You don't need him to open the door. Just go over to their house. Hey, man, we're having a great Easter service. Would you like to come? Write down five names. I want you to pray about it. Everybody close your eyes. Some of you guys might be sitting in here this morning and you've never, ever, ever asked Christ to come into your life. You've never experienced a salvation experience and said, God, come into my life, come into my heart. Well, I've got great news. You're at church this morning, and you're going to have that opportunity. So if that's you this morning, you say, today I want to make a decision to follow Christ. I want to step out in faith. I want to experience the blessings God has for me. If that's you this morning, just for about a millisecond, a half a second, I want you to slip your hand up and put it down. Just a half a second. Praise God. Okay, thank you. Now, the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. So this morning, if you slipped your hand up, I'm going to ask you to repeat this silently in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud. Say, dear Lord, please come into my life. Please come into my heart. I believe that you died on the cross. I need you. Please forgive me of all my past mistakes. And help me to live for you. Lead me, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to leave with this today. No excuse is enough. No amount of awkwardness is enough. No comfort zone barriers are enough or more important than someone's eternity. Because your invitation can change the world.
Amen. Amen. If you guys would give Chris a hand, appreciate it. his heart, and the powerful stories, testimony of how God used a simple invitation to change lives forever. And he wants to use us to do that. I want you to write down, like I said, five people that you're going to invite to be here. That you love them enough that you'll invite them. That you love them enough that you'll invite them to come and hear hope. Hear a message, hopefully, that will touch them where they're hurting. And that they'll be willing to put their faith in Christ. So it could change their life for eternity. So I just want to encourage you to do that. Throughout this week, you know, we just prayed. And I want us to take a minute. I want us to pray. You may not have written your list down yet, but I want us just to pray for just a second. I want us to pray for the people that are coming next week. People more likely to come on Easter Sunday than any other Sunday. So let's pray that God would open up their hearts, and even this week that we would have that opportunity. So I want you just to, in your mind, if you haven't written out in your list yet, I want us to go to the Lord in prayer and pray for those that we're going to ask. Father, we know that there's people that, God, that you have put in our realm of influence. And Father, I pray that you give every one of us the courage this week to invite them, to share our story. God, to share with them the hope that we have. God, to share with them what you've done in our life, our testimony. God, I pray that we would love them enough to reach out to them. And God, I pray that you'd put within us that just that burden, that hunger, that desire to see their life changed the way that you desire to see their life changed forever. God, your desire is that they would just come home to you, that they'd be made whole, they'd be made right, in a right standing with you. Father, and you've given us this great commission. You've given us this mission that we're to be your messengers. We're to be your vessels that you would use. And God, I pray that you would use us this week. And I pray for our church, God, that we would lay our life down. We would get out of our comfort zone. God, we would step out and step into the lives of the people around us and offer hope. God, let us be a people who believe what we claim we stand on. And believe it in such a way, God, that it changes how we spend our week this week. God, help us to be prayer warriors each day as we pray for Easter. God, as we pray for those that come through the doors here. God, I pray for the ones that are here that maybe aren't serving in any capacity here at the church. God, they'd find a place to serve next Sunday. Maybe as an usher or a greeter or a teacher. Father, maybe in the parking lot, just somewhere where they can help people take steps towards you. Father, use us. I thank you for these kids today that have used their gifts to bring glory and praise to your name. God, I thank you for those that use their gifts for the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.